a really big deal. All kinds of thoughts may come about when you think about a really big deal. But it's a phrase that we hear from time to time or may use. So as we begin, I would invite you to join me in prayer. Most kind, wonderful, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, God, I just praise you and thank you for your presence in our life, for your love for each one of us, for the gift of Jesus. And God, as we go through this message, I do pray that you would speak the words you want, that we certainly would hear the words you have for us. And God, I thank you for everyone that's here. There are some that are at home ill. Ask for you to bless them as well. Those that are on electronically, God, allow everything to work and they could hear exactly what you have for them as well. Because we all are one body with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you say something is a big deal, you mean that it is important or significant in some way. Big deals usually are good, but sometimes a big deal isn't something you're looking forward to, but it's a game changer, a life-changing event that may come up. You can ask, what's the big deal? That means, why is this so important? What's all the fuss? Using the dictionary for the word important, of great significance or value, likely to have a profound effect on success, survival, or well-being. And the question is today's message a big deal? As we go through this, that'll be something that as you anticipate or hear, whether this is a big deal for you or not. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. This is Paul continuing to respond to the Corinthian church with some of their questions. And we've gone through that the last few weeks where Paul is responding. And this is, again, what he is doing. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing clearly the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When blinded, when we don't see, we certainly don't see clearly. Many take your glasses off and maybe you can see, but not clearly. It becomes fuzzy. So there's a veil or there's a covering. There's something that's causing you to not see clearly. We go back and the reference of Satan. He blinded or deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. He talked about, oh man, doesn't that look good? I'll bet it tastes good too. You know, why don't you give it a try? And going from what she knew, the veil or the darkness kind of covered, and her own idea came out. Our eyes must be opened and remove the blinding veil. Darkness has to be removed. We've talked about, you've read a particular scripture or a book, chapter and verse in the Bible, and a year later you read it and you go, that wasn't there the first time because I didn't read that. Somewhere in the mix, the clarity opened up. God helped you see beyond what you had seen in the previous readings. In verse 5, for we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves or servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, light will shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Paul is using imagery by referring back to Exodus 34, 29 through 35, and in Genesis 1. In the beginning was darkness. Let light shine out of the darkness. And that is the story of the beginning of the earth as we know it today. Darkness covered the land and light came in. The light of Jesus Christ. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, which concludes the season of Epiphany. We are entering the season of Easter preparation, as we call it in Grace Communion. Many churches refer to it as Lent. But it's a new season being prepared, looking at. The season of Epiphany is all about seeing God's glory. And that for the last weeks back into January. Each week is another aspect that we've covered of God's glory. We've been coming to see a little more fully who God is and his character and being. What was once hidden is now being made visible. We prepare for Easter through repentance, changing how we think to align what we've been revealed to through and in Jesus Christ. Every day, Jesus is pouring into your life. Those little things may be subtle, they may be just small steps, but they're there. We conclude the Epiphany season by revisiting the story of the Transfiguration from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, 2 through 9. Mark places the Transfiguration story in the middle of his Gospel, bracketed, interestingly enough, with a blind man being healed at the front end of the Transfiguration story. And concluding this story is another healing of a blind man. Both blind men were healed from darkness to light. You take someone that is totally blind, and if their eyesight is restored, the light is something that just permeates because they've never experienced it. So seeing is very important. When you figure the Transfiguration story, blind man being healed and a blind man being healed on both ends of that story, there's, I think, some intentionality to that. Mark 9, we'll begin in verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. Mark patterns this story after Moses' experience of God on Mount Sinai. Take time, and if you could, go back and read Exodus 24 and 34 to pick up on Mark's parallels. He takes a lot of the same imagery of Moses going up and receiving the Ten Commandments and coming down into this same time frame or of the Transfiguration. Mark includes many elements. 6 days of waiting. You can read that in Exodus. The cloud that came down and covered. The glory that was displayed. The voice. The descent down the mountain. The similarity of the shining face of Moses and the radiance of Jesus. As I was reading this, was Jesus actually putting a show or was this what he kind of maybe looks like as God? And the three, Peter, James, and John, got to see something much like Moses did. And the effect was pretty pronounced. We also need a revelation of who God is as revealed in Jesus Christ to heal our blindness. When we are blind to the identity of Jesus, we will remain in the dark about our own identities as well. A true identity emanates from Jesus. That's where our identity ultimately lies. How do you think Peter, James, and John thought about being included in this special journey with Jesus? Think about that. If you've ever been part of a select group, it feels pretty good. You're a part of this select group. What if you're not? What if you were part of the nine that wasn't included in this journey? It's easy to become prideful when we're included. If you've been watching The Chosen, the dynamics of those that were chosen to do certain things, others were kind of like, why not me? It was a special journey with Jesus for Peter, James, and John. But in reality, we're all special. We are all on this journey with Jesus. It's a part of who we are today. How are Jesus' clothes described? As no one on earth could bleach them. It was totally pure. So I go back, is this more of a picture of Jesus as God? As we see Jesus transfigured, we see God's glory, a revelation of who he is. The God revealed to us by and in Jesus is self-sufficient and self-sustaining. We can use the analogy of the sun. His life is a life of giving, going out, bringing warmth and life. That's what Jesus does. That's who he is in our world. That's who he is in each one of our lives. He is life-giving. Not just our physical life here, but our life as it moves forward. Constantly going out, reaching out into us, bringing warmth and life. That's part of what Jesus does in our life. The God we see revealed in the transfigured person of Jesus is not a God who is turned inward, but a God of love who radiates life outward to his creation. Think about that. Jesus wasn't about turning inward. He was always reaching out, touching others, extending his message into other people's lives. How did Peter, James, and John respond? Honestly, they didn't know what to say. And I have to believe that if any one of us were in that situation, we would also probably be at a loss for words. And there, in verse 4, appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus, prophets in the law of the Old Testament. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi or teacher, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. So here's Peter. He didn't know what to say, but he didn't know to keep his mouth shut either. He had to say something. He had to fill in that silent void. I mean, these are the law and prophet representatives with Jesus right there. I mean, this is a big deal. Sometimes a big deal, it's okay to keep quiet. It's okay not to throw in. They were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son. How God felt about his son, he started out with, this is my son. The beloved, listen to him. What was coming out of God's voice at that point was a tremendous amount of love for his son as he's introducing who Jesus is. The love and admiration exudes in this. You can almost just feel it in his voice, the imagery. I want to read, I picked up, this was posted from a former high school classmate. We're going to bring it back into maybe more of a something we can equate with real easy. 10 things your dad never told you. And this is a human father that we're talking about. Now, some of you may not have had a human father that you lived with and are around. Maybe you didn't have the best one. But these are some interesting things to think about. Number one, he has to ensure that there is enough money. Number two, you are more important than his work. These are things that your dad never told you. He wants to be like Superman. He really wanted to fill all his promises to you. Think about it as a little child. He's tired. It broke his heart when he can't buy you that toy. He wants you to work hard in life. He wants you to be better than him. He would do it all again. He really loves you. Things your dad never told you. Maybe you can equate that as a parent yourself to your kids. And here's God the Father in the cloud telling those there, Peter, James, and John, "This is my son." Can you just feel the love and how important he's trying to convey to you? Nothing else matters. This is the one. Listen to him. Jesus' transfiguration is not a change in Jesus. It is a change in our seeing and knowing who he is. I truly believe Jesus' representation there is truly who Jesus is. And our knowing that changes us. We recognize that Jesus really is who he says he is. Even more than that, he's who his Father says he is. In Jesus, our identity is forever significant and secure. We don't have to worry about tomorrow, next year, next decade. It's forever secure in Jesus. How often do we seek our identity in some circle that promises glory? And you know, as humans, we always are looking. It's interesting, again, going back and watching The Chosen, how, in the same way, they're looking out. This particular one, why is he here? Why did Jesus send this one? It wasn't said, but why didn't he send me? That wasn't but it's why someone else? Our true circle of identity is found only in Jesus. We can't find it in a club, a Rotary event, a group of people that are planning different things, a political party. Our circle of identity is found only in Jesus. And that's what we come weekly and we read daily about, is who this Jesus is and how you fit in the world he brings us to. He has already included us in his life with the Father and Spirit. We will all find the inclusion and identity we ever need as we see only Jesus. We don't have to look other places. Everything we need is there, and it's in our world because Jesus has brought us into that world. Verse 9, as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. We may have occasional mountaintop experiences with Jesus, and it's awesome, and we enjoy, and we can share and revel and appreciate those experiences. What's interesting, he doesn't stand on the pinnacle looking down on us as we descend to the valley. He goes with us. He doesn't stay up on the mountain waiting for you to come back up. He comes down. He goes with us every step of the way. Everything we do on a daily basis, Jesus is right there with you. And if you have a oops, and you go, oh man, Jesus is right here with me in the middle of this oops, it's okay. He loves you anyway. He brings you through that. As he walks with us, he is working to help us see who he is and who we are in him. Focus on who you are in Jesus. That's something we can do on a daily basis. There's times, and we've talked to him, you know, I've mentioned those divine moments, and you go, I don't know what to say. It's okay. Jesus is right there. I was listening to a podcast this week, and the man giving the podcast told the story of this old pastor it was a young pastor that got up and gave a sermon. And he kind of fumbled and stumbled through it. He was pretty new at it. But at the end, he sat down. And afterwards, he had a number of members come up and thanked him for what he had shared. And he stopped and he realized, I didn't say any of those things. I did not say one of those things. And it was numerous different people sharing numerous different things. And he goes, I knew I didn't say that. I stumbled and bumbled through things. But they heard what God wanted them to hear. He goes with us. Focus who you are in Jesus. He will give you words to say and you'll go, boy, that didn't come out right. Did it? Or did they hear something different? Sometimes we find out and sometimes we don't. But God is always with us. Today can be your day of transition from darkness to light, from blindness to sight. Think about that. Having that veil drop, the darkness dropped, and see Jesus in our life. As we go through things, and I'm sure each one of us can relate to where you knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was right there and got you through a situation. And that's a big deal when we can look at that. That was huge. The Lord is glorious, and he invites you up the mountain with him. That's the journey that we have. God has told us, God the Father has told us who his Son is. He's told us to listen to him. And when we go through life, he goes with us. If we are faced with choices, he's right there with us. He invites you up the mountain to be with him. What a glorious thing to know and appreciate and love that God has sent his Son that has done everything for us. And we have a life with him. If you would join me in prayer again. Loving Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit that moves in us, that draws all parts together. And God, we thank you for your absolute love for all of us. Give us clarity. Help the darkness to fade away and the light of your presence in our life lead us onward. Thank you, and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 18. So, my very dear friends, when you see people reducing God to something they can use or control, get out of their company as fast as you can. I assume I'm addressing believers now who are mature. Draw your own conclusions. When we drink the cup of blessing, aren't we taking into ourselves the blood, the very life of Christ? And isn't it the same with a loaf of bread we break and eat? Don't we take into ourselves the body, the very life of Christ? Because there is one loaf, our many-ness becomes oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what he is. And he's represented at the table. He's given us the fruit of the vine, the cup, the bread, his broken body. And he wants us to experience that as often as we can. He is here. You join me again. Loving God, thank you for the bread, the cracker, the fruit of the vine, the cup. God, that we can take Jesus into us and his presence is with us. God, that we can not be who we are, but that we can be what, where and what he is. He brings us to him. Thank you for the blessings of Jesus. We do ask that you would bless the elements at the table. And God, that you would just speak to our hearts, that we could hear and feel and appreciate you at every level. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together today. We want to see Jesus shine, for the land to be filled with your glory. Lead us this week so that Jesus will shine through us. Amen. And finally, from 1 Timothy 1:17, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.